Welcome to a bonus episode of The Voice Behind the Pen. On today's episode, SC, along with guest co-host Vivica Thompson, are joined by author Victor L. Martin. Victor shares his story about how being incarcerated for 24 years started him on his literary journey and ultimately led to a production company and a renowned publisher putting a new cover on his book and publishing it as their own work without Victor receiving any compensation. We appreciate Victor for coming on the show and sharing his story. We also have to add that these aren't the opinions of the Voice Behind the Pen podcast, but rather Victor sharing his account. We'd also like to give a special thanks to Vivica Thompson for taking the time to join SC on this bonus episode. So grab whatever your go-to is to let loose, and please enjoy the show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is author, screenwriter SC Dickens, the host of Voice Behind the Pen podcast. I have my co-host, Vivica Thompson, with me tonight.
Hey everyone. How's everyone doing this evening?
We're doing great. Thank you. I appreciate you coming on the show and help me with this interview.
Of course. Today
we have Victor L. Martin. And we wanted to talk to Victor and we wanted to ask him some questions because a lot of things have been exposed on the internet on a bunch of things that was going on in the industry as far as writers being taken advantage of through publishing companies, through other writers, you know, and they capitalize on a situation of them being either incarcerated or them not being able to understand a contract. So we got Victor L. Martin. Good evening, Victor. How are you?
I'm doing good. Blessed to be here another day.
All right, man. So we're going to go ahead and get into the interview. Can you give us a little backstory about you, Victor?
I'm 49. Yeah, 49. I started writing in 2000 in the county jail in New Bern, North Carolina. I knew I was facing a lot of time. I was facing 17 to 23 years. And one of the guards I was talking to, I was just telling her my war story. So one day she's like, you need to write a book. And I was trying to write no damn book. But I knew I had a bunch of time, so I need to try something. So I just started writing. After about like the first four chapters, I let them check it out. And she was like, it was good. And you know, like I said, I just kept writing and writing. And then in 2002, I sent in my manuscript to Vicky Stringer, and she accepted it. And this was, now I've been writing ever since. But like I said, I came home last year after doing a total of 24 years. I'm in Charlotte now, just like just taking it day by day. But like I'm home now, and next month I'll be off probation. So like this whole time I've just been keeping quiet about a lot of things. So, but now when I get off probation next month, it's just, I'm always humble, but it's to a certain extent that way sometimes you got to stand up for something. So I think it's that time to speak. You know, people get to certain positions, they think because they got money, they can do anything. But now you're seeing that no matter how much money you got, you can't be taken down. Puff, who else? Madoff, it doesn't matter. And it's sad that when it's our own kind bringing us down. Like I even remember when Urban Books first started coming out, and I'll never forget this. I don't know if you look it up, it's one prominent black female author that bashed Urban Books. And when I read it, I'm like, damn, that's, instead of her talking bad, she's like, oh, the books are terribly edited. It's all talking about sex, this. Instead of you saying that, you should have came out and tried to help us. And this was, who was it? That wrote, Get My Groove Back. What, Terry McMillan? Yeah, when I read that, I lost all respect for her. I'm like, damn, you bashing us? I don't think it's just, she just saw us as a threat. Like, damn, these Urban Books making a lot of money, so let me talk bad about them. You gonna talk bad about us, and we the same color. Right? I don't get it. White people, they making money. They not fighting each other, but us as blacks, I guess it's that slave mentality. But you know, I know I kind of went off the rail. But what's the first?
Oh no, you good, man? You good? You good? You telling your story? You giving us a picture? The you know, you painting us a picture? You know?
Yeah.
And I appreciate you painting that picture. Now I know why you was incarcerated. You sent in the Vicky Stringer, but I also know that you sent something to Carl Weber, right?
Yeah. See, that all happened in, I think it was 2015, when Triple Crown, when they fell apart. So I know you remember that. So
yes,
Vicky wrote me a letter. This is about like in, I think like 2015. She's like, "Hey, good news. We're about to bring your book back in print. Carl Weber, he picked your book. He want to put Hood Legend back out. And he's going to put it in Walmart and Target and all this. It's going to be on the Urban Books. And we're going to start going back to getting royalties." I'm like, okay. Well, look. Hood Legend, it was poorly edited. I hate that book. Because the editors didn't do what they're supposed to do. So when they was doing this new deal, I said, well, hey, tell them, let me do another version to make it better because I can write better now. They're like, nah, they just want to put it out. So all Urban Books did was just slap a whack ass cover on it and put it out. I'm like, man, and I haven't seen a penny since. And so, like, I tried to reach out to Carl Weber. And I guess he hide behind his lawyers and whatnot. And so I'm assuming he thinking, like, oh, this dude locked up, so he can't do nothing, so we're going to do whatever. But I know what I'm saying now is not slander. I, Victor L. Martin, have not received a penny from Urban Books. And until with my last breath, I guarantee you I will have my name and image removed from Urban Books. I don't have nothing to do with Urban Books. I don't respect Urban Books or nothing they got going on. And at this point, if any of their authors or anybody feel some type of way about what I'm saying about Carl Weber, I don't care. Because like I said, I'm humble. But at a point, I feel like he's stealing from me, stealing from my family, stealing. He's using my proceeds to make his movies. So, like I said, I'm not worried about no slander because everything I'm saying is facts. Tell him to come up and show me that I'm lying about anything. So, you know, other people probably saying, oh, Carl Weber, he's doing this for black people, blah, 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 blah. Man, listen. Facts is going to always come out. Truth is going to always come out. So if anybody in this camp give this to him, all he got to do is be a man and come to me and speak up. So, gotcha. Like I said, I haven't been paid not a penny, not one. But yet, you go on Amazon.com and pull up a Hood Legend. Like I said, you're going to see that whack-ass cover, Urban Books. Like my name is up there, but I'm not getting nothing. So where's the money going? It's not coming to me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, did you ever directly confront him about this, about the situation?
Now, since I've been out, I tried his Instagram. I sent him a message. It was a peaceful message. Like, hey, Carl Weber, hey, look, I'm out. I'm home now. You know what I'm saying? I haven't received any royalties since I've been out. You've been publishing my book since 2015. And you had no response. So I waited. This was like back in August of last year. So I said, you know what? I said, I'm just going to wait. I'm just going to wait. Give him time. So I get off probation next month. I can go anywhere I want to go. I can go to New York, go to Las Vegas. I can go to Urban Books office, but he gonna see me. So
I definitely feel that. I hate that that did happen because a lot of people, like when you think about the Carl Webers and the Terry McMillans and the Maya S. Pools and the Zanes, like they were pretty much our, you know, like
role models,
right?
Yeah.
So how did you feel about Carl Weber before this incident even happened?
Before, like I said, I had mad respect for him, but now it's to the point where I'm like, every movie he makes is about black people being grimy against black people. So I'm like, well, damn, maybe it's just his nature because he's good at making movies like that. So maybe it's just him. And like I said, I know he's going to hear this. I don't care. that he hear this. I want him to hear it. But like I said, he know I'm not getting paid. Everybody know I'm not getting paid. So, like I said, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, I was going to say, did he at least change up any of the work or the material, or he just left it all the same?
Nothing. All he did was slap that whack ass cover up there, and that was it. Nothing else. So I'm like, yo, man, get these people, what, you know what I'm saying, that money's worth. Let me make it better. No, he just put the cover up there, Urban Books. Nothing. Man,
that's crazy. And I was, I've told SC that, because he actually had last year where he was like, hey, anyone, he was looking for people to sign under him for his books and also for scripts. And I was so excited, you know, to submit. But I actually, you know, submitted to him. And so, and I didn't get chosen, or they never responded back to me. And so I'm hearing this now, that could have been that was my blessing. That was a blessing in disguise, I guess.
Yeah, because like right now, if like right now, the lawyers aren't involved. Now he come to me, man to man, and like, hey man, okay, the deal won't right, whatever. I've been making money off your book and your name, so can we settle this? Yeah, we can do that. Like saying, just don't sit there and think because you up there in New York and you got your lawyers or whatever and whatever. Man, white people ain't gonna protect you like that. Because as soon as you do something wrong, they're gonna turn that back on you. Look at Puff and a lot of people. So it's like I said, I'm not worried about no slander or nothing like that. Everything I'm talking about is facts. Because I can show you my bank account. There's no royalties coming from Urban Books, period. Not 1 cent, not one penny. But you've been publishing my books since 2015. You got an audio book. You got an e-book, paperback book, Hood Legend, Victor L. Martin. Nah, I'm going to get my bread. One way or the other.
So, how did you go about gathering the evidence? You know,
the evidence is just pure facts. Like I said, the deal been in papers since like 2015. And like I said, the evidence is zero royalties. That's it, zero royalties. So, and like
did
I said,
you sign any documents or any type of documentation
The deal that they got, Vicky, I still have my contracts with Triple Crown Publication. So, like I said, she had wrote me, and she was like, look, we about to, because the books that went out of print for a minute, because remember, Triple Crown had folded. So, Carl, I guess, like be careful with my words. Well, you know what vultures do when they see a dead animal. So, I guess he goes, see, okay, well, look, let me get Hood Legend, this. I'll put it under my such and such. And give you royalties. So that was the deal. So she's like, hey, you're going to go back to getting 15%, which went up by $1.50 per book, but it's going to be in more outlets. So I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, cool. I had mad respect for Carl Weber back then. But then after that, the book come out, the cover come out. I'm like, hey, where my bread at? Don't nobody say nothing. But like I said, I'm locked up, so I'm seriously limited in what I could do. That both of them knew that. So regardless of how they did it, he knew what was wrong. She knew what was wrong. Like I said, I was incarcerated. And like I said, I even had to fight just to write books. I know you heard about the lawsuit I had to do. I mean, at one point, prison, they tried to stop me from writing. So I had to deal with that. And another thing I want to speak on. Okay, let's say if I'm Usher or whatever, a singer. And let's say I come to you, SC, like, hey, man, write this song for me. Mm-hmm. And I sing it. That's still talent because you wrote it, but I performed it. So I got talent. So I can be labeled as a singer. Now, there are a lot of, I'm not even going to call them offers. There are a lot of opportunists that try to hold the title as being an author. Off of guys that was locked up, and they make them sign a non-disclosure act. To me, if you buy a manuscript from somebody, and you put it out, say you're an author, that's fronting. You're not an author. And there's a lot of them that I know that do that, and I have no respect for them. Zero. So anybody, I don't care who you are, if you got a manuscript from somebody that's locked up, what do they call it, ghostwriting?
Ghostwriting. I was just about to say that.
I don't respect ghostwriting whatsoever. And I know a few of them. So if I don't deal with you, if I don't rock with you, then I know you fake, you're a front. And I'm not worried about them saying anything because deep down they know, like, damn, he right. Because you have zero talent. Just because you bought a book from somebody doesn't make you an author. And I take it personal because it's for me to sit down and write a book, it's hard. It's not easy.
That's
and
true.
Just because you went and bought a book and then put your name on it, you're not an author. You're fake, front. So don't even speak to me. Don't say nothing to me. I have no respect for you. So all that ghostwriting shit, that's, I don't have zero. I have no respect for that. And all these, there's some major ones that everybody think, oh, they big time authors. They good. No, they fake. They didn't write anything. They bought it from guys that's locked up, knowing if they throw them pennies, that they'll bite. And then they go make millions off their books and they don't want to say they're an author. No, you're not an author. So, me personally, everything and anything I write, I wrote it. And I have not sold anything to nobody because I don't respect that trade. So if I'm stepping on somebody's shoes and they don't like it, shit, hey, it's life. It is what it is. The shoe fits, wear it.
But see, that happens a lot, like in this industry. So I get what you're saying as well, because I'm an author and there's blood, sweat, and tears put behind that pen. So I definitely get it. I see this a lot when it comes down to even celebrities, like when they release the books and things of that nature. They have a lot of ghostwriters, but their name is on that book. But we know they didn't write that. They had a ghostwriter.
Yeah, so like my manager at the time, Jael Imes, he'll tell you, I didn't even want to do it. He's like, man, I got somebody who wants to ghostwrite. Like, man, no, I ain't doing that. I'm not doing it. I refuse to do it. And then it was like, I don't like writing inside a box. I forgot the name of the company up in New York, but let's do like romance novels, black romance novels. You probably know who I'm talking about. And they was like, oh, I spoke on this last time. So he sent me the submission guidelines. So I look at the guidelines like, the male and female character can't sleep with nobody else. They can't have sex till they're married. And they can't curse. And at the end, they got to get married. Like, what the hell I got to write the book for if the damn story told? So when you get the book, you already know the two main characters at the end, they're going to get married. I'm like, man, I'm not doing that. So I didn't do it. I'm like, if I'm going to write, I'm going to write what I want to write. And it's not going to be what somebody else feel that I should write. And so I said, I've been writing since 2000. And I believe that my longevity is just being natural. Like, I don't compete with nobody else. I just compete with myself. I always try to make my next book better than my last book. I don't care what the next man doing. I don't care what the next female writing about. I'm writing about what I want to write about. So I just write good books. I try not to preach in my books. I just want to write that's a good book from start to end. That's what I.
Yeah. So you want that create, you want that creative freedom is what you're saying.
Definitely. And so, I remember in 2018, when I was about to get out, I reached out to Wahida Clark. She was with, Cash Money Content. So I'm like, yo, can you put me down with them? I'm about to get out. And this is why I have I don't care what they say about Wahida Clark. This is how I got married respect for her. This is what she said. She said, Vic, you about to come home. You have your fan base. Start your own company and make more money. She could have said, just come out and sign with me. Oh, she told me to start my own company. That's what I did. And I have VL Martin Productions to this day. And another author I have mad respect for, this man, I remember when he did 28 years, Leo Sullivan. He did 28 years. And when he got out, he was homeless for a period of time. I knew this because we was in contact. And now he's a multimillionaire. And money did not change Leo. if I go to, I can go to Facebook right now and post something. You know who the first person going to go up there and like that page or anything like that? Leo. And I can get on the phone. I can call him right now. He'll pick up. So that's somebody I got in my corner. Leo, Wahida Clark, George Isel, who else? SC. There's a few others, but like I said, this the industry, man, it's not what it need to be. You know, people, once they get money, they get big headed. They just, you know, but hey, what goes up must come down.
That's true. And I'm going to tell you something, man. You think about everything that's happened and you being incarcerated. They take your book. They're supposed to do one thing and then they do another. There must have been an emotional toll that it took on you. How did you handle that?
But like when I didn't start receiving the royalties from Urban Books, I could have did one or two things. I could have been bitter about it and let it stop my creative flow, or just be like, you know what? I can't do nothing about it right now. Just focus on my own company and get on my grind. That's what I did. I kind of use it for motivation. I'm like, okay, so this, think he can stop me, think they're going to stop my flow by taking this book, which is my first book. Like, really, I take this to heart because A Hood Legend, man, it's tattooed on my arm. It's the first book I wrote. And if anybody think they're going to take this book away from me and make money, man, I said, they better keep writing books. That's a fiction world they're living in. But, because, like, I know you heard about the lawsuit where I went against the prison system and I won. So, and when I set my mind to do something.
Yeah. I read that. Actually read that. Yeah, but so it was showing mind, the old article. So, yeah, kudos on that win.
Yeah, so when I set my mind to do something, I'm going to do it. All right now, I know I'm going, like, a lot of people, okay, you see Urban Books. Oh, it's black owned. Nope, he sold it to the white people. He don't own it. Somebody else own it. So, I know I'm going against a billion-dollar industry, but I don't care. Like I said, I'm coming with truth and facts. So, I'm going to get what's owed to me. Like I said, I ain't going to make no threats to him or nothing like that. I'm not stupid. I'm definitely not going back to prison. But I'm going to get what's owed to me. I guarantee you that. So, and then, like I said, I know people in this camp that's going to be like, oh, he talking bad. I'm not talking bad. I'm stating facts. Pure facts. I'm not hiding behind no lawyers. None of that. I'm a man first. Always. So, it's up to him what he want to do.
Yeah. So. Now, what you're saying, you know, people in his camp knowing and hearing everything about it, right?
Yeah.
Were you surprised by the level of attention that this controversy gathered up?
As soon as I made the post, it was like, I was kind of like, well, really, I wasn't worried about it. I'm like, yo, I'm stating the truth. I'm not lying about nothing. It's not like I don't feel I got the label as the mad author that's just mad because this. No, I'm just stating facts. You got my book out since 2015. Ain't been paid, period. End of discussion. And so as soon as I made it, I'm not going to speak on this other people post. Well, no, it's on my Facebook page. Just go up there and read the comments. He was like,
yeah, I read it.
Yeah, so, you know, it's like, if it's up to him to make things right. Now, like I said, I just did 24 years. I just gave the system 24 years of my life. And for about 10 of them, you've been making money off my name, off my book. You know what I'm saying? And those proceeds, I know you use some of that to make your movies, to make your millions, to buy your house, to buy your wife this and that off my name. I don't have nothing. Zero. You know? So, like I said, when he listened to this, which I know he's going to hear it, it's like this call, you know right from wrong. So, your conscience is either going to deal with you, or if it's in your nature just to be a snake, whatever, which I'm not calling you that, but it is what it is. I haven't been paid. And so just in the end, I want my book back, my name off Urban Books, because I do not affiliate with Urban Books at all. No form or fashion. So I don't want to be under that label. I'm not under that label. I don't claim it. And I never will, never have.
With all the controversy and everything else that's going on, you know, because that had to be a distraction. At some point in time, it had to be a distraction, you know. How did you stay motivated and feel like, oh, I'm going to write some more books and with the hopes of it not happening again? Or what precautions did you take that you made sure that it wouldn't happen again?
And I say I use it for motivation. So I'm thinking like, okay, he's going to take my first book. Don't pay me. So he's like, okay, yeah, we're going to destroy him. I use it for motivation. I'm like, okay, so he's going to take one book. You know what? So I'm going to write eight. I have eight manuscripts in my possession that I'm going to put out on the VL Martin Productions. Mine, nobody else's. I have nobody else. All the proceeds coming to me, coming to my bank account. I know where the money going. So now my outlook is I don't have to worry about if my royalty's not coming in. I don't have to worry about when I send my manuscript in, if they're going to edit it right. I don't have to worry about my cover not being what I want it to be. Everything that's doing with the production stage, I call the shots. From the cover to editing, typesetting, how the book's going to be bound, everything. Even with Motive for Murder, when I gave it to Amazon, I said, yeah, I gave Amazon the book, but the ebook and the audio book, you only get that from me. I called the shots on that. I didn't have to ask nobody else. So I had that freedom to do that. And so a few people like, man, you going to sign anybody else? Like right now, I'm just focusing on building my company up and capital. Because if I do sign somebody else, I want it to be fair. Because I know how it feels to be treated unfair and taken advantage of. But like I said, man, it was mainly when Urban Books first started, it was in around like 2000. It was Triple Crown Publication and Terry Woods. It was the main two that first started. And so they kind of like put down the groundwork. But now you have all these self-published authors. And me, I don't care if you've been writing since 99 or if you started yesterday. I'll help you. If you need any advice, I'll help you. I don't care what label you sign with, I'll help you. I'm not with that label, so I'm not going to help you out. I don't like drama. So just like SC said earlier, for me to be feeling this way, it got to be some truth to it. I mean, even when I was doing time in prison, like when I get into a fight or something, everybody automatically know, oh, somebody done did something wrong to get Vic in that level, because other than that, he just laid back. And so it's like this. I don't want to be beefing with nobody, but I'm not going to sit around and struggle and watch you living good off my name. I'd be a fool if I did that. My mama didn't raise no fool.
As you shouldn't at all. So I know during this time, you said that this happened like back in 2015. So we're coming up, we're at least at year nine. And so during that time, I believe some of this time you were incarcerated. You know, I know that that took a toll on you mentally. So did you have like a strong support system, or did you have people that you relied on during this time?
Yeah, like I said, of course, like I said, with my length of time, I didn't go in there with no girlfriend. I did my time by myself. I had my mom, my sister, my niece and nephew, my family. You know, they held me down. But that's what my mom always said, just keep writing, keep writing. That's what I did. And really, the guys that I did time with, you know, I had to earn my respect, you know. So I get the camps, everybody was like, if I get like a table to write at, as soon as I get it, get that table to Vic right there. He writing. I can leave my manuscripts on the table. Nobody would touch it, you know. So it was, I just stayed focused like that because I had a release date and I knew that I was down and out now, but come 2023, I was going to regain my freedom. And like I said, next month on 5:29:24 at exactly 11:59 p.m. I will officially be off probation. I think my first.
Well, trip, kudos to you.
Yeah, I think I'm going to New York.
Yes.
I think I'm going to New York.
You gonna go to New York? Okay. Yeah,
nah, not to Caldwell. My mom stay in Brooklyn, so I don't need to try to.
Well, but yeah, kudos to you. Yeah, that's dope. I know you can't wait for that day.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I know I'm not gonna be in North Carolina. I'm gonna be somewhere away from here. But yeah, I'm just out here taking it day by day. I have a new book coming out this summer. Like, what really made me come out and say this? Like, I really don't want to say her name, but the other author that was up there, you know, y'all know who I'm talking about. So when I seen it, I'm like, damn, that's what made me come out. So don't think I'm saying this because I got a new book coming out. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to mention the book that I got coming out because it's not even about that. It's about right and wrong. So,
And that was actually, I was thinking about that, like, because you're saying that, okay, there's people that were in similar situations, but by the way, I did see that. So what type of advice would you give the other authors or screenwriters that are in similar situations that are facing someone possibly or allegedly stealing their work? So what type of advice would you give them?
First of all, get the work copywritten. That's the main thing. And it's kind of like, learn from my mistakes. Like, trust is hard to earn in this industry, because you can send your manuscript to somebody and next thing you know, they got to move up. Like, matter of fact, I need to go and check Carl Weber's movie, make sure he made a movie out of Hood Legend. See, that's what I need to do. And because if he did that, matter of fact, he got a movie about a guy running a chop shop or something like that, Hood Legend. I might need to check that out. And y'all get paid off of that too. Yeah, I'm talking about everything. I'm talking about anything that's dealing with my name on it, I want it. So.
As you should. I know back in the day, like way back in the day, I ain't trying to tell my age, but back then they had where you could do what's called a hood copyright. And a hood copyright is where you would literally get your work, whether it was some songs that were made, manuscripts, whatever, mail it to yourself. Yep, right.
Exactly.
So what I'm learning, because of course, like I said, I've been writing since 2015. However, I'm learning as a screenwriter, everyone, they know that when you write a script, you have to, you know, you submit it to the Writers Guild. However, doing my research, is good to submit it to the Writers Guild as well as copyrighted, because the Writers Guild, they only help or assist with the idea of your work. But copywriting it, you're actually going to like your whole script that signed, sealed. So yeah, you have grounds to sue at that point. And a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you say you've been writing since 2015?
That's correct.
Oh, so you're like a kind of like a newbie a little bit.
Well, hold on. Let me back up now.
Hold up.
See, I started writing poetry. I've been writing poetry since the seventh grade. And
okay,
then I
wrote. That counts.
Yeah, but then I wrote my first book in 2007. But I never released it. So it's literally still sitting on my bookshelf right now. And I see, and you were incarcerated. I was actually on the other side. I was a correctional officer. And so I would write a few pages, and actually it'll be a few inmates that was there that would give me their input. You know what I'm saying? Tell me what they thought of my writing. You know, and it was like, oh, you know, you got something there. And so actually that's kind of what gave me the push to publish my first book.
Okay, yeah. So you know how to do screenwriting, right?
Correct.
All right, okay. Well, I'm going to put you on Front Street right now. All right, check this out.
Uh-oh.
I know for a fact that I have some fire material. Like I said, I write things that nobody else wrote about. Like, when I wrote Miami Knights. Okay, I know you can name off the top of your head. I know you can name five books about somebody getting out of prison and they robbing somebody, and next week they riding a Rolls Royce selling dope. How many books can you name? I know you can name a lot. So when I wrote Miami Knights, I was like, okay, guy go to prison, he get out and do what? And I knew the main story that everybody write, but I said, no, I want to do something different. I said, what can he do? Get out and do what? And I thought, I said, you know what? Get out and be a porn star. And that's what I wrote, Miami Knights.
Oh, man.
So that's my trilogy, Miami Knights Part 1, 2, and 3. That's under White O'Clock Publishing.
Okay.
However, my first book that I put out under V.L. Martin Productions was Motive for Murder. But what was your name again?
It's Vivica, but my pen name is Black Butterfly.
Vivica. I might use that name in the book. Anyway, Vivica. I like using unique names.
Well, it's actually pronounced Viveka, and it's a name from India. It means deep thinker, deep philosopher.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to use that. Okay, so look, I promise you that, I'm not going to say if, when I send you the first four chapters of my next book, True to a Fault, Part 1, I'm not going to say I want to make this a movie. I am going to make this a movie. But that's, I always plan ahead. But I did this with the assistance of my former vice president, Chandra Austin. I didn't make, as you know, my company isn't V.L. Martin Publishing. It's V.L. Martin Productions, because I'm going to make movies. So when we get off, I'm going to give you my information, but I need a screenwriter. Because I need to stop playing games. I need to go ahead and make me some movies. So I know the content that I put out is going to be different. It's going to change things. I'm going to just turn this whole industry upside down. But I know when people see a V.L. Martin production, like, oh, shit, I know this is going to be good right here. This is going to be something that ain't nobody seen. So everybody like, man, yeah, you can just learn to do it yourself. I ain't got the time to do it. I need this. I need to get this out. This time next year, I need to be sitting in a movie theater watching the premiere. So I need your help with that.
And, all right, then let's talk. We okay, got well, it. We can get it.
All right. Say no more.
And you definitely picked a good one. Trust and believe, my brother, you're in good hands with this young lady. You
where,
know.
Where you located at?
I'm in Texas. I'm sorry. I had it on mute. Oh. But yeah, I'm in Texas.
Okay. I'm in Charlotte.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Okay. What other questions do I have?
Well, my next question is, after while you were the moments of being incarcerated, right?
Yeah.
What you spent some time reflecting on things. What was the main thing that you reflected on the most?
Honestly, it was my mom, because I was. It's like every day I pray, like, look, just, I lost my nephew while I was locked up, Kilo. I lost my grandfather. But I knew mentally that I couldn't take it if I lost my mom while I was locked up. So I just prayed, like, every day, look, just let me make it. I don't care if it's just I walk out the gate, just let me make it. Or let my mom make it to when I get out. And I received that blessing. My mom's still here today. And that's what kept me going. You know, like I said, I've been through a lot. I've seen a lot. I've seen guys hang themselves. I've seen guys get stabbed to death. I've seen guys get beat to death. And I made it. I made it through. And I didn't make it through as being no Superman or bully, nothing like that. It was God. I admit that. So, you know, I just, as I look back on it, I mean, What's 24 years from now? What would that be? Somebody do some math.
That'll be
40. That'll be 2048.
Ooh. Yeah, 48.
2048.
Yeah, y'all ain't use no calculator?
Nah.
Oh, that's why I hate math. But anyway.
Nah, this the math whiz. You talking to the math whiz here.
Okay, you say 20, you say 20 what?
2048.
2048.
Just imagine staying in prison from today to 2048. I did that.
Yeah.
So,
and that's what I'm saying. I know you have to have some stories because, like I said, from the other side, like I was on the other side, and so I did that for 7. And so I have so many stories from my experiences, from things that I've been told, things that I've seen. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So being on the inside, I can only imagine the conversations that you've had, the interactions that you've had, and you were there, like you said, for 24 years.
Yeah. When I was a correction officer at Johnson Correctional in North Carolina and Central Prison in North Carolina.
Hold on. When?
2014.
Hold up.
Yeah. I used to be in OC2, that booth that I used to let the unit from unit 1 to unit 2 in. You probably man, seen me.
I was there about, I've been there like, man, I've been there too many times. I hate that camp.
Yeah.
And that's my home camp.
Yep, Central Prison.
Yeah, I was down here in Dallas. I was down here for the Dallas County Sheriff Department. I was at Lou Stairs. So I worked at Lulu, did that for 7 years, and I was like in the direct supervision. So I was like in there, like it would be me with 64, you know, by myself. I did that for 7 years.
Yeah. Well, what unit were you on at CP? Martin?
I was on O and K dorm first, but you know, they closed that down. Then I was in regular population, you know, so yeah, I was there. I was at CP. Okay. But I didn't stay there long. I stayed there when I got there, I stayed there like 4 months. They put me on investigation for messing with an officer, which I was, like I said, now they can't do
that. That was always the case. That ain't no secret.
Hey. Yeah, like you know, that's how I did my time. You know, of course, I was still working on my books, but as far as women, like I didn't. There wasn't no outside girlfriend. You know, Vivica, is that how you say it?
That how yes. You say it? Yep. Oh.
Yeah, I was going for them female guards. That's how I did my time. But you know, but now that I'm home and free, like I said, I've been taking it day by day, and I'm not gonna say that what keep me going, like I said, I haven't even been out a year. I have 2 cars, full time job.
Listen, that's a blessing, man.
Yeah, and most people be like, "Oh, yeah, it's that book money." Nah, it's not the book money. It's just me on my grind. Everything is legal. I'm talking about in both cars, that Titan registration, you got my name on it, Victor L. Martin, no co-sign. And I just think that being that I was in prison so long, with being told what to do, what to wear, when to eat, when to go to sleep, what time to wake up. All of that, now I got my own freedom. I'm just driven. And like, I'll be riding around, I see guys just sitting at the corner store doing nothing. Like, I don't see how they can do it. Like, if I haven't even been out a year and I got this. So it's possible. It's jobs out here. And, you know, like I said, people might associate, oh, he's a big time author. That's how he got that. No, I haven't even really started bringing in any book money yet. So trust me, you know when I do. But right now,
that's the thing. Let them speculate. You're going to have always the people on the outside trying to dictate and tell you what's going on in your life. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And so I have noticed that more men, and that's what I'm saying, kudos to you with the things that you've achieved in less than a year is way more than what others have achieved, and they've never been incarcerated. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes your drive and your hustle is going to be different when you have experienced that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, kudos to you.
Yeah, but so, like, even I told my last probation, I was like, I want to be able to go back in the prison system to speak to guys or even guys that's on this path. Because, like, if you just seeing anybody in there, like somebody rich, whatever, they're not going to listen to them. They're like, man, you don't know what I'm going through. But I know I can relate to them. So I want to do that. I just don't want to. I spent too much time in there just to forget about it. I can't. If I repress it, it's just, I know that's not good. But yeah. As far as me being an author and the books that I wrote and still writing, my talent is it's raw. I didn't go to any kind of writing school or anything like that. I just like to read. And when I started writing, I was like, damn, I like doing this. So I just kept doing it. And like every book I write, I just get better. So if you compare a hood legend to Motive for Murder, you're like, damn, he ain't no way he wrote this. Because it's just, I just try to get better with every book. And that's what I've been doing. And so, okay. Like I said, my issue with Carl Weber, I just want what's owed to him. It ain't no slander. I'm not trying to bash you or nothing like that. But hey, you know I ain't been paid. So let's try to settle this. And it's, I kind of see it like this. Like, if I don't have any kids. And if I did have a kid with a female, and I say if we wasn't together, I would tell like Gabe, like, look, I don't need no white man or any the legal system to tell me how to take care of my kids. You ain't got to put me on child support. Because how you going to say, oh, you got to give this kid $200, $1,000 a month, whatever. My kid is priceless. You can't put no number amount of what I got to give my kid a month, you know. So it's like writing is passionate to me. I love writing. I enjoy it. And so for Carl Weber and Vicky, however they put this contract together, they both of them knew it was wrong. I believe that when they did, like, okay, yeah, he ain't going to see nothing. Well, how much time he got left? He already got such and such. Okay, yeah, we're going to go ahead and do this. But yeah, I'm out now. I'm home, you know, and next month I'll be off my probation. So like I said, I'm not making no threats, none of that. I'm not putting my hands on nobody or nothing. Because trust me, I know the pen is mightier than the sword. Trust me, I know that. And I know how to use it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, they're going to have to definitely start pulling up some of those ledgers, showing what those book sales was looking like, you know, at the end of the day. And so sometimes we can be our own worst enemy when it comes down to our race. And it's just sad. So hopefully this does get out there to where he does at least right his wrong. Don't mean that you have to work with him anymore, but at least he can do the right thing, you know, as a man and do what he's supposed to do and come up off the coins.
Yeah, but like I said, the stage I'm at right now, if he come to me man to man, we don't need no lawyers or whatever. Like, he come, hey, Vic, look, check this out. I know you ain't been paid, so look, what can I do to make this right? I'm willing to do that. But hey, if he want to waste his money and take this to court, whatever, knowing you wrong, because I'm going to get my book pulled off Amazon. I guarantee you that. That's before, when my birthday, July 25th. Mark my word. Before my birthday, that book, A Hood Legend by Urban Books, will no longer be on Amazon. I promise you that. Promise.
Now, I'm a piggyback off of a statement, you know, and just because you have a rough start with somebody doesn't mean that you have to have a rough ending. You understand what I'm saying? Ooh. Now, sometimes, and I've experienced this, sometimes that some relationships are fostered off of a terrible situation that somebody came back and right that situation, and then y'all could become the best of friends. You know, and I tell people, I said, just because the business started off rough don't mean it has to end rough. And that doesn't mean that you don't have to conduct business with them again. You know, you can't cut your nose despite your faith in certain situations, you know?
Yeah, I totally believe that. Like I said, I was locked up. Me and this guy, we got in a fight, ended up being the best of friend. You know, so like I said, I'm definitely with that. But like I said, all I'm asking him to do is to come to the table. That's it. I'm about to get my phone number out, but look, just man, I'm on Facebook. All he gotta do is DM me. I'm on Instagram. That's all they gotta do, man. We ain't gotta. I mean, let me quit saying white people for everybody think I'm a racist or something. All he gotta do is come to me. We don't need to put the system in the middle of this. You know what I'm saying? We can handle this like men. Two black men. That's all I'm asking. So Carl Weber, anybody in this camp, my Facebook page is Victor L. Martin - author. I run my page, my messenger, so if you hit me up, I will answer. So that's my email is Victor L. Martin 1975 at gmail.com. So I'm at the table with olive roll, what's it called?
Olive branch.
Yeah, I'm at the table with an olive branch. So, yeah. But just don't forget that olive branch came from a tree. Didn't it? Mm. Yeah, got some limbs. Got some stumps. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like your demeanor. You know, like I told you, since I've met you, your demeanor is very, very peaceful. You've been very, you know, humble, you know, and I could just imagine, you know, people say, well, what did he do? What did this? What did that? You know, it doesn't matter. It's who he is now, you know? Yeah. And at the end of the day, with men, and our word should be our word.
Yeah.
You know, that shouldn't be a thing that has to be discussed. If I give you my word on something or a situation took place or whatever, it should be your word on that situation, you know? But like I'm saying, I wasn't there. I don't know what took place. I'm just knowing what you're saying. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm going off of our relationship. You understand what I'm saying? On how we've dealt with each other.
Yeah. And see, that's why I'm careful of what I'm saying. Like I said, I'm not going to bash them or nothing like that. I'm just stating facts because, like, when I write books, I put myself in all the character's shoes. And like right now, I put myself in his shoes. So if I was to come out and be like, he ain't this, da 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 da. If I was him, I'm like, damn, he bashed me already. You know what? I ain't got to say nothing to him. So that's why I'm just stating the facts. My book been out under your label since you know when. I haven't been paid. I'm asking you as a man to come talk to me. And I'm not saying that if he don't come talk to me, he's not a man. He just didn't come talk to me. So hopefully this gets out to him and he reaches out to me and we can resolve this. But until then, hey, I'm not biting my tongue no more. I'm not biting my tongue no more. So
now I got another question. I got one question. Yeah. Did you suspect anything? Were there any warning signs? And the reason why I'm asking that is because sometimes people be like, man, how did you know? Was there any warning signs that this was going to take place, or it was just on the agreement that you had with Vicky Stringer?
Like I said, when Vicky came to me and when she wrote me, she was like, "Hey, good news! Carl Weber is looking at a couple of our titles to see which ones he want to take and put up on the Urban Books, and it's going to be in Target. This, that, that." You know, I'm getting excited because you know back then, Urban Books was, you know, that was a big deal, and so. Yeah. The first sign was, okay, when they signed the deal, like, yeah, okay, he got your book. It's going to be on the Urban Books. So I'm like, okay, now I'm dealing with their editor. I'm like, look, let them know. Just let me revise it because I want to give the readers the best. Don't give them it wasn't edited good. They're like, nah, I'm just going to put it out like it is. Right? So what's the difference of being on the Urban if you're not going to revise it? They didn't revise it. All they did was just put that cover on it. So I'm like, man, this right here is that right there kind of gave me the bad vibe. Cause I'm like, if you a multi-million-dollar company, Urban Books, you're gonna give the readers the best. Not just something you got from somebody else and you're gonna slap a new cover on it and say, oh, this Urban Books. No, all you did was put a cover on it. You didn't do no editing, nothing. So how's it Urban Books Publications? All it is just, you know, so that right there, that kind of, I lost respect for Urban Books then, you know, so. But here we are today. So we're going to see how this is going to end up.
Yeah. Well, I hope and wish you the best, my brother. Mm-hmm. I hope everything works itself out. I hope, you know, y'all come to a peaceful resolution on the matter. I hope that, you know, this turns to be something peaceful, you know, and I wish you continued success because I see you on Facebook. I see you doing your thing, Wahida, yourself. Yeah. You got your own stuff going on. You got the book deal that you and I'm proud of you because I know, and Vivica know, when most men come out, if there's not a lifestyle that they're living in prison, whatever, they have a hard time adjusting. And yeah. you adjusted. Very true. You came home and yeah. you adjusted. You said, listen, I'm not going back. I have no reason to go back. Cause you know, you have some guys that go there for a lifestyle that they're living behind them walls. Yeah. And then you have some guys that go back because they can't deal with society because they don't know how to acclimate like themselves.
Right. It's like a culture shock. And I've seen that to where they go back to kind of what they're used to either inside or outside. You know? So, yeah.
But, I think like I said, writing changed me. Cause like, man, when I first got to prison, I used to get a write up. Like, I couldn't even go a month. I couldn't even go a week without a write up. But when I started like really focusing on writing, like it just changed me. And, it's something I enjoy doing. Like I said, I love writing. And so that's why I'm passionate about it. And like I said, when I went against that prison system, when they threw my manuscript away, like I said, I was on lockup when it happened. And so other dudes, there's this other guy, he had wrote a book and he had, just like in the synopsis, he had like the biggest of all 10 crack commandments. They took it, said, oh, it's gang related. So I'm like, man, why don't you just write a grievance? He's like, no, man, I'm trying to get off lockup. If I say somebody might keep me on lockup, I said, man, I'm fighting. So nobody wanted to join me on the lawsuit. But then when it got in the newspaper, then everybody, oh, yeah, I want to join. I was like, no, we're just going to do Martin's lawsuit. You know what I'm saying? We asked y'all from the beginning and nobody want to say nothing. So yeah. I went against the prison system by myself with the help of the ACLU. And, you know, it wasn't easy. They kept me in the hole for an entire year just for writing.
And we know how that works, that retaliation, you know.
Yeah.
It's a game, and we all understand how that game is played, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that was a prime example. You know, I tell people sometimes you got to stand alone and you got to stand up for something, and even if you're standing alone,
mm-hmm.
because you'd be surprised on who's looking or who it can affect as well as just you, you yeah. know. So I like Vivica said, I give you your props on that, man, because that's a big pill to take on the justice system. That's a huge pill to take on. And I remember when I was at Johnson Correctional, there was a bunch of authors on the camp, and. Yeah. They were like, yo, Officer Dickens, can you look at this? Yo, can you see this? Can you look at this? And I look at some of their work and I said, oh, this is good or whatever. They was like, yo, you think I can get a publisher? I said, bro, you know how policy is. Policy states that you guys cannot publish a book while you're incarcerated. But if your book has been published before you got locked up, then you can accept the royalties. You understand what I'm saying? I said, but most, and I'm glad that you said that because a lot of people didn't understand that. A lot of people didn't know that. That was what policy was. Yeah. You know,
and I fought and I changed that. I changed that policy. So I remember when I went to court, you know, I didn't know. I never had any dealings with the federal courts. I really didn't know. I went in there with I went in with a slave mentality. I'm thinking, like, oh, yeah. I mean, all these people, they work together. You know what I'm saying? I'm the only black person in here. Man, this is what happened. When that federal judge read the disposition, he took his glasses off. He looked at prison. They were sitting on that side. He said, all my time, I never seen nothing that made no sense whatsoever. He said, you mean to tell me you locked this man up for a year, wrote him up 10 times, and charged him $10 for every write-up because he was writing? He said, I don't know what kind of policy you got in that state prison. He said, but I guarantee you, before you leave this courtroom today, it's not going to be on the books. He said, y'all going to change that today. And when he said that, I'm like, damn. I said, the feds got that kind of power? My lawyer's like, yeah.
Yeah. So, the feds don't like the state prisons. And I'm going to tell you something that I realized, too. Now, I know, and you know I'm not lying, because you was in a North Carolina prison, right? So yeah. When you get your mail, you also get your bank statement. Am I lying?
Yeah. See, now they got it where you can't even get regular mail no more because, you know, guys was, it was.
Oh, yeah, the drug stuff.
So now it's everything through computer now.
Yeah.
So, but,
the SDG stuff, the material, the game.
Yeah, all of that.
Yeah.
Now, man, the system is not everybody is. I can never say the system wants you to stay in there because the last camp that I was at, the last two camps I was at first I was in Raleigh, which was the staff was mostly black. And I tried to get work release. They said, no, I'm a threat to society because I had an old escape charge. They didn't want to let me out. Then due to COVID, they had to close it down. They sent me to Carteret Correctional. The warden and associate warden, both white. And would you believe they gave me a chance? I had to earn it and gave me work release. So my last year and a half, I was out working work release. And that helped me to adjust to society. So, and it's sad that we holding each other down. And, you know, I know, I'm not being contradict what I was earlier saying, the white people, but they help me. You know, so it's just dealing with life, period. And, you know, so it's like I said, I'm just taking it day by day. I'm not going to stop writing. I have a couple more books coming out and the Black Butterfly Thompson, she's going to help me make some movies. And that's what we're going to do.
Let's get it. Let's go.
Oh no! You guarantee when this show is over, I'm giving you my number. We definitely gonna link up. That's a fact. You ain't got to worry about that.
Let's do it.
All right, yeah. Guys. I really appreciate it.
Look, I'm gonna tell you, this type of dude I am. I'm gonna say this. Yeah, I don't know this being recorded. So, Ms. Thompson, whatever we do. When we make a movie, you being a screenwriter, let me see. I don't know. I don't even know what other deals the screenwriter and producer be having, you know what I'm saying, with the royalties, whatever. But I'm telling you right now, the type of dude I am, I'm not greedy when it comes to books. I like to keep things fair because I believe if you fair, then that other person going to give you that best. So right now, I'm telling you that whatever we do, all royalties, I'm going to split it with you 60-40.
All right. Y'all heard it first on The Voice Behind the Pen.
Yeah, what's the date?
April 18, 2024 at 8:01 p.m. Central Standard Time. Eastern Standard Time is 9:01 p.m., okay?
Yeah, it's 9:01. It's the same over here. It's 9:01 up here, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like soon as it's over, I give you all my information. Yeah, we're definitely. I got to work tomorrow and Thursday, but I'm off this weekend, so I'll probably give you a call Friday. Yeah,
all right, we'll definitely go ahead and get that set up so that we can go ahead and start seeing some of these awesome, awesome books put into some movies. Like we need something different. Tyler Perry, nothing against you, brother. But it's kind of like the same movies a little bit over and over again. We need a little switch up.
Yeah, no lie. Like my girl, my baby, she's like, let's watch this Tyler Perry movie. I don't want to watch this. Like, why? I already know what's gonna happen. The black girl, whatever guy she with, they're going to be going through it. Her friends will be talking about her. Then at the end, they're going to get married and fall in love. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, my goodness. My dude says the same thing. He's like, he doesn't like watching Tubi movies because they're all the same. And that is kind of how it is. So, yeah, we got to change that up. So then you'll be able to tell your woman, hey, let's watch this. And it'll be a little something different. It'll be a switch up.
Listen. Listen, whenever in the future, when anybody sit down, like when they see that logo, a VM on production, they're like, oh shit, I got, oh, I know this right here gonna be some fire. Cause it's gonna be something that they never seen. It's not gonna be, no, oh, that's, they're not gonna say, oh, that's like such and such movie. Nah, they ain't nothing out there where a dude get out of prison and try to be a porn star. Who wrote that? Vic Del Martin, that's who wrote it. Yeah. So we need to get this going ASAP. This time next year, I'm going to be going to one or two movie premieres. You know, we'll be going down that red carpet, side by side.
Speaking that into existence, my brother.
Of course. Yes, that works too.
All right, guys. I appreciate you, Vivica, coming in and being my co-host this evening.
Of course, of course.
All right. And Vic, man, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your story with everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and give it a, you know, a back story on what's going on so people can't just log in and assume. You know, everybody heard it firsthand out of your mouth what the situation is, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. It doesn't mean that their opinion is right. And it doesn't mean their opinion is wrong. It just means that they have an opinion like everybody else, you know?
Yep.
So, well, ladies and gentlemen, this is another episode of the Voice Behind the Pen podcast. I'm your host, author, and screenwriter, Essie Dickens, and my co-host, Vivica Thompson.
This is your girl, Vivica Black Butterfly Thompson.
All right. Good night, everyone.